He is everything to me. As we come together on this evening, realizing that He is most definitely everything to us, even with the change of the weather, knowing that He is God and He controls everything. We are going to look at and talk about on this evening. That's not it. Establishing Bible authority. You know, there are times where, again, we want to do what we want to do. And there are many reasons why. We oftentimes will tell people that we are grown and we do what we want to do. Rules and regulations are made to be followed. And when we start talking about God's Word, the things that we do or should do are laid out very plain. And it may be, as we know, the Bible teaches that some things are hard to, I'm not going to keep up with that this evening, that some things are hard to understand, but just because it states that they are hard to understand does not mean that they cannot be understood. So let us not forget who God is and what God has done for us. The scripture reading again, but Mark, from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, and the verse is 11. Read that one more time for us, if you do not mind.
1 Peter 4, verse 11 says, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
The things that we do, again, it is to honor God, and they are according to His will. So when we speak and we say that this is what God has said, we must. I can't stress it enough. We must have Bible. Men will tell you that God has spoken to them. He has whispered to them. He has sent them a sign. How does God speak to us today? Through His Word. I believe that we do not study enough to understand this very thing. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He does exactly what he says he does. He speaks to us through his Son. His Son is the Word. And if we would, again, accept this, we would know exactly what God desires of us. When God speaks, again, man should listen to the things that are being said when God speaks. And I'm trying to get this exactly right for you on this evening, and again, it just do not want to cooperate, but stay with me. Stay with me. I'm not gonna tell you that. When God speaks, it is from his Word. And when God speaks, man should listen. Man should listen. A direct command. A direct command. What is a direct command? A direct command is defined as when God has told what he desires. Now, you may go and look it up and find another definition, but I believe to me this is the best one. It's the simplest that I can, you know, relate to you on this evening. When God has told what he desires, that is a direct command. Noah, build an ark. Make it out of gopher wood. I want you to build it this way. I want you to build it that way. I want you to make sure that the measurements are exactly like this. He did not have to say exactly, did he? All he had to do is say, build an ark. This is how I want you to build it. And it is for, this is the key right here, it is for the saving of your household. How many souls were saved in the ark? 8 souls were saved by water, the Bible teaches us. From 1 Peter chapter 3, and the verse is 20. 8 souls were saved by water. Was it Noah's closest friend? No. It was his family. It was his family. Those were the ones that were saved by the direct command that was given. Approved example. Approved example. What is an approved example? Okay, everybody can start thinking right now what an approved example is in their minds, but let me give you what I say. A practice that is found in Scripture. That's the definition that I'm giving you on this evening. A practice that is found in Scripture. What is a proved example? Them partaking of the Lord's Supper upon the first day. Amen. The command went back to, here's what I want you to do in reference to the Lord's Supper. All right? I want you to take the unleavened bread, and I want you to take the fruit of the vine. And that's the command. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. The example, Acts 20:7, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, think about this just for a moment. How often do we eat a common meal? Once, twice, three, four times a day? When do we partake of the communion? Upon the first day of the week. We have an approved example. Approved example. And then we have necessary inference. What is that? A necessary inference. Something not stated but implied in Scripture. Something not stated but implied in Scripture. Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. In order for Jesus to be baptized in the Jordan, Jesus had to go down in the water, and Jesus had to come up out of the water to perform everything that he did after that. He was led into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. So where was Jesus after he was baptized? He was out of the water. Did the Bible say that he was out of the water? Didn't have to, did it? It is inferred that he was out of the water. And so again, when we look at these three things, a direct command, an approved example, and necessary inference, this is how we establish Bible authority. Now, we get commands every day from somebody for something. We get examples from watching other people do things, and if it works, we say, I'm going to do that too. Here's my example. And then there are things that are inferred every day in our lives. We see these things, and we understand them. We understand them. I can walk outside right now, and I can look at this car and look at that car, and in my mind, I would say, such and such is in the building. Did I see them drive up? No, their car is out there. So I'm using necessary inference here, thinking that they're in there. And I may be wrong on that. I may be wrong, but 9 times out of 10, we're right. That individual is in here. And so again, when we look at these things, we accept them as being truth. Being truth, okay? God gives a command, and it has to be followed if we're to be pleasing to Him. We have an approved example, and if we follow that example, we are approved by Him. And then those things that are necessary inferred, we have to continue to do those things or think about those things to know that we are doing what is right. Acceptance of authority. Acceptance of authority. See, a lot of people do not like anybody to tell them what to do, as I stated in the beginning. I'm grown. You can't tell me what to do. I'm over the age or whatever. Okay, and what do we tell our children when they come to us and they tell us they're grown? Get out of the house. Get your own place. Pay your own bills. Do you go on your job and tell your employer, you know, what you want to do, how you want to do it? Some of us might and some of us might not. And if you do, how long are you going to have that job? So what we have to do, again, is we have to accept the things that are told to us in the Word of God to know, again, that we are pleasing to Him. He's pleased with us. So let's do what is right as we look at these things on this morning. Acceptance of authority as truth. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, as truth. Again, what is truth? The Word of God is truth. Amen. Again, as Jesus was praying to the Father, asking Him to sanctify them through Thy truth, Thy Word is truth. Amen. So here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the verse is 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and the verse is 13. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers. So accepting the Word as the Word of God and not the word of men. How many times have you been lied to by those that you trusted? By those that you thought loved you? How many times have you been lied to by those individuals, or shall I ask, by that individual? You know, man will lie to you just about anything. Okay? Brother Butch, what color are your shoes? Are they not brown?
Black.
You all missed it. That brother looked down at his shoes. And he proudly stated, black. Now, he did not lie to me. They are black. But you can stand there and you can look at somebody and you can ask them a question about something of their attire and they will argue you about it. Okay? Brother Mark and his red socks. You know? They are red. And if I ask him something in reference to those socks, hopefully he'll tell me the truth. But some men have just lied to you. Now, the Word of God is the same way. All you have to do is open up and look at it. See what it says. And know that when you see what it says, that it is truth. Amen. It's not going to change just because you don't like it. It's not going to change just because you don't line your life up with it. It is still truth. Amen. So therefore, it is not the word of men. It is the word of God. And it is what we need in order to be pleasing unto God. And then we must follow it. Okay? We must follow. We must follow authority. Is that hard to do? In some cases, we may say yes. Why? Because those that are in authority are wrong. They're not doing what's right. They're not saying what's right. They're not leading in the right direction. But the authority that we're talking about this evening, the authority that we're focused on, is the authority of God. He is never wrong. I can stand here and I can say that all evening. That God is never wrong. And somebody will say he is wrong. He's wrong because of this. He's wrong because of that. He's wrong because he's taken this person from me. He's wrong because he's taken that from me. God is not wrong. What we need to do when those things happen is we need to continue to thank him. There's a reason why things happen. We may not always know the answer, but there is a reason. And what we need to do is we need to accept it in order to accept these things here. 1 Corinthians 4 and the verse is 16. 1 Corinthians 4 and the verse is 16. Let's start up in 14. 1 Corinthians 4 and the verse is 14. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. But I become your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me. Do what I am doing, Paul is saying right here. And he says it again there in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. I believe some versions say, as I imitate God. Imitate me. Paul had the greatest example to follow. Not while he was, you know, being raised, not as a little boy, but as he became a man. The greatest example, and that example is Christ. He followed that authority. He did what Jesus told him to do as that bright light shone down upon him from heaven on his way to Damascus. Lord, what do you want me to do? You go into the city. You go to the street called Straight. And there's someone there that's going to tell you what you need to do. Paul didn't argue with Christ on that day. He accepted what he told him. He went on to Damascus and he heard the gospel message being preached by Ananias, being taught to him, and he accepted it. The greatest example for any of us is Christ. Amen. Imitate me as I imitate God, or as I imitate Christ. Follow it. Every good leader leads by example. He does the things that are right, and individuals that are following, they will do what's right as well. And so when Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's telling them to imitate him, Paul is being a good leader. And as he told them, we need to look at those things too, and we need to follow them. So acceptance of authority is following it. You know, a lot of people say, you do not respect authority. Well, why would they say that? Because people are doing what's wrong. That shows, you know, you don't have to say anything. It's in your actions. And so when you're doing what's right, people say, oh, he follows that authority. He respects that authority. But when he's not, they say, man, he just don't care. So let's not be those individuals that don't care. Let's be the ones that do care, that we will stay in the Word of God and we will continue to do what is right, obeying it. Obeying it. You know, we find in Scripture the reason why individuals are in places they are. We talked about that a couple of 3 weeks ago. You know, why do we have leaders in the Lord's church? Why do we have leaders of this land? And we read and we follow and we think about the leaders that be are because of God. Why do we have elders in the Lord's church? Because of God. Why do we have deacons? Because of God. Why do we have teachers and preachers? Because of God. And we go right back to the very beginning. Why do we have members in the Lord's church? Because of God. Individuals willing to obey the things that are there. Willing to obey the things that are there. Where? In Scripture. In Scripture. So we find, let's start with the first verse, and then I'm just going to read the first and the second, and then we'll drop down to verse 15. In Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? How can we who have died to sin still live in it? Drop down to verse 15. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? Either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. Okay? If you're going to follow what's right, you're following the right example. You're following the right one who is in authority. But if you're following the one who is wrong, again, the Bible says it leads to death. And so, ask yourself this. If following sin leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness, can we infer from that this righteousness is life? Doesn't say it, does it? But can we infer that? Yes, we can. And then you can go to other scriptures that will actually state that. And so again, we accept God's word as being truth. Because he has the authority. Because he's the one that is in charge. He can make up, whatever he desires to do because he's in authority. He's in charge. And if there's a person in charge, that person has the right to say or do whatever he pleases. And that is God. He can do all things except for what? Lie. Amen. He's God. He's God. And we need to honor him as God. Bible teaches there again, going back to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And the verse is 6. 1 Corinthians 4. And the verse is 6. Let's go back up to verse 4. Verse 4. I give thanks to God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you. So that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship of his Son, Jesus. See, I thought you was. Yeah, I'm somewhere. Okay. I was over in chapter 1. Normally, they would say, it's okay, Brother Brian. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one another, one against another. For who sees everything or anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? Okay? Again, Paul writes here and he says, do not go beyond what is written. Okay? So I guess it's the start of the letter is a good thing, going back to 1 Corinthians 1, but that's not where we want to be. We want to be in chapter 4, where he says, do not go beyond what is written. So many times, you know, people want to say, you know, I believe God meant this. No, God did not mean what you think he meant. God meant what he said. And that's what we need to follow. If he said, do not go beyond, we do not go beyond. Singing, you know, we talked about singing this morning. How many of you agree that in certain songs that you sing, that it sounds better with instruments of music? Okay, a lot of us will agree with that, you know, especially, you know, talking about those worldly songs. Oh, boy, that's a good beat. But has God told us again to use instruments of music in our worship to him when we sing praises unto him? No, he has not. So we don't do those things. Don't go beyond what is written, except what is written. And you do those things. Again, there's nothing sinful about an instrument of music. Nothing sinful about an instrument of music until it is used in a purpose that God has not required it to be used in worshiping him. It becomes sinful then. It becomes sinful. So let's continue to do the things that are right, the things that are pleasing, the things that he will accept. And we say, don't mistake it for anything else. Do not mistake God's word for anything else. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Within the 10-year tenure that I've been here, I have never gone to Galatians chapter 1 as much, you know, before this time. The 10, 20 years that I was in the Lord's church. There's a reason. And the reason is, you go to the scripture that you need for the people that do not want to accept it. Don't mistake it for anything else. Don't mistake what? God's authority. What he tells saves, do not mistake it for anything else. Paul is plain right here, where he wrote to the church of Galatia, and we need to accept this today, where he says in verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Verse 7, that there is another one. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Now listen to what Paul says here. He says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Do you think that's important? What Paul wrote to the church of Galatia? Do you think that he really felt what he was saying? He emphasized it. He said it one time, and then in the next sentence he said it again. What did he forget what he was writing? No. He did not forget. He said, as we have said before, so now I say again. If anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Maybe Paul, even with them, standing before them, talking to them, he told them that same thing. Who I don't know. But I do know he said it there in verse 8, and he says it again in verse 9. It's important that we realize what truth is about. It's important that we realize the one that has authority, So when someone comes to you and they're trying to change what you believe, and you have proof of what you believe, you have it in writing, do not accept what they have to say. Amen. Let them be accursed. Let them be accursed. So when we speak, how do we speak? As the oracles of God. When we preach, what do we use? The Word of God. If you don't like what is being said, who has the problem? Does God have a problem? No. We have a problem. We need to change when we begin to believe those things that's not true. We need to change. Again, Paul says, I am astonished. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. We do not need anything different. We don't need anything new, no innovations in our worship. We need to accept authority. And when we accept authority, we're accepting what God has laid out before us. Again, 1 Peter 4:11. You know, why not end it the way you started? You know? There are so many people that have lost their first love, and they need to come back to Him. Amen. Need to come back to the Word of God and need to do what is right. Let's start with verse 7. 1 Peter 4:7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Since love covers a multitude of sins, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now those are some great words. Some words that we need to put to heart. Some words that we need to understand that God is in control. What does the manual say? You know, a lot of people, you know, those that own different jobs, here's what they say. A mechanic. A computer guy. Let me go get my Bible. Something that broke down. Let me go get my Bible. They're not talking about this. They're talking about that instruction manual. When we as Christians have problems, when we are broke down, we need to go get our Bible. We need to go get the instruction manual. We don't need to go these self-help books. We don't need to go How to Fix Your Family by some book that some man has written. They got, you know, a whole lot of letters behind his name and two or three in front. No, we need to go get the Bible. Amen. We need to go get the Bible. Because this is where we're going to find our authority. Amen. How we need to behave ourselves in our homes. How we need to behave ourselves on our job. How we need to behave ourselves wherever we are. Especially in our worship, we need to get our Bibles and we need to open them up and we need to study them. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God and you're ready to, you know, respect the authority that God has and be obedient to Him, you come and you make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, being immersed in the watery grave of baptism, rising up out of that water to walk a newness of life, doing what's right before Him. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're going to ask you to come back tonight as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.